Thanks for joining us and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we're located at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas, and we hold services on Sundays at 9:30 and 11:05 a.m. You can also find us online at facebook.com/GoStonebridge, follow us on Twitter, where our handle is SBChurch, or visit our church website at GoStonebridge.com. Today, Pastor Steve Bradley shares from our series, The Five Things Every Kid Needs to Know. Here's Pastor Steve.
All right, good morning. I know we laugh about those. I remember the story of the little girl that decided to make coffee for her mom. And as her mom got up, she had already done it, brought it in, and she looked at it. She was really pretty stunned, and so she asked the question, so how did you make this? Because, you know, she knew no one had ever taught her how to make coffee before. She said, well, you know, I put the coffee grounds in a pot, put some water in there, boiled it, and then she said, well, how did you get the grounds back, you know, out of the water? She said, well, I used the fly swatter and poured it through the fly swatter. And she said, oh, no, you didn't. She said, don't worry, I didn't use the new one. So, you know, all right, okay. Think about that one. That will get you in a lot of trouble. We're doing this series called Five Things That Every Kid Needs to Know, because, you know, as you go through life, you only thought it was difficult or it was a challenge, you know, to grow up and do the things that you do in life until, right, until you had to be a parent. Then all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, so now I'm supposed to take all the things that I've learned, sort of filter them through the new fly swatter, right, and figure out the things that I should pass on and the things that are important for them and the things that you want to make sure that you help them avoid or that they get through. And this is what we've talked about the past couple of weeks. The first week we talked about the difference that love makes, because it's important for your child, especially from the parent's standpoint, to know how much they're loved, right? I mean, there's nothing more vital, more important than your kids understanding that you love them, right? They came from you. And as a child understands and realizes just how much mom and dad love me for who I am, the fact that I am their child, it helps them to understand just how much our Heavenly Father, how much God loves us and how much God cares for us, because we were made in His image. We came from Him. And then last week, Jason Johnson talked about, anybody get a chance to hear Jason? Did a great job, didn't he? Jason did a really good job, and especially because he has four kids. He's outnumbered me here. I have two, he has four. And he talked about how your kids need a sense of worth that comes from you. You help build into them this sense of their worth of who they are. And this is one thing that he said that I think you need to remember. We are hardwired, we are built this way, that we will look for our sense of worth, our value, our sense of being secure in who we are from outside of us. I know a lot of people think, well, I'm going to find that from inside of me. I'm going to say I'm valuable. It doesn't matter what anyone says, I say I'm valuable. But the truth is, we still look for at least affirmation, confirmation, something outside of me to say that my life is valuable, my life matters. And if your mom and dad don't think your life matters, it's going to be really difficult, you know, as you go further out to find it. And if your mom and dad, those closer to you, believe your life is valuable, then it affirms, it helps them to understand how much more their Heavenly Father thinks their life is valuable. Beyond what they do, beyond their struggles, their faults, the difficult things they go through, that there is just this intrinsic value in who they are that you have built into them. When someone grows up and no one has taught them this, no one has built this into them, it leads them to a very, very, very insecure life, always trying to find something that says my life is valuable. If you build this into your kids and you teach your kids that their life is valuable and you love your kids, what happens is you fill that void in their life, that desire in their life, so that as they go out into life and they experience life, there is a freedom in their life. There is a strength in their life. There's a character in their life that they play on, work on, build on as they go out in life. So it's really important that you do this. You know, this is one of those especially the one we're going to talk about today, that I could talk about for hours and hours and hours, but I know you would not stay if I did that. So I promise that I won't do that. But it's really, I think this is where it really becomes a big deal and where it kind of hits home. And the one we're going to talk about today is you have to give your kids a way to get through heartache and failure. A way to get through heartache and failure. And if you don't do the other two, if you don't teach them about love, and if you don't teach them that their life is valuable no matter what they do, I mean, if you're not the kind of parent that says, you're still my child, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've gone through, then what happens is it's going to be difficult for them to go through heartache and failure in life. So let me give you some a quick fill in the blanks on your outline, if you want to look on your outline, and this is what your outline starts out with. And let me emphasize this, it'll pop up on the screen. Everyone experiences, say it with me, heartache and, everyone experiences heartache and failure. Everyone goes through heartache and failure. This is a part of life. It is designed into life. It's not some anomaly. This is the normal part of life. In fact, if you want to fill in some blanks, heartache is a part of loving. It's a part of caring. Failure is a part of, what do you think? Another L. Learning. Yes, failure is a part of learning. Heartache is a part of loving. Failure is a part of learning. If you love, if you care, if you give your heart, if you give yourself to someone, you will experience heartache. That's a part of it. In fact, the deeper you love, guess what? The more painful the what? Heartache, sure. God experiences heartache. If you read in the Bible, you will see it's not just all, you know, rosy for God, where he never has a problem and everything always goes the way he wants it to. I mean, if you look, just go through Genesis. It doesn't take long at all, you know, that you see where God was disappointed, where it broke his heart that people that he loved, people that he cared for, people that he created would turn against him, would take what was his and say, no, it is mine. I created it. It belongs to me. You know, God goes through the same thing. You and I were designed to be like him. We were made in his image. We will experience heartache. If you try, if you decide, I'm going to raise my kids and I want to make sure that they never experience heartache, you will mess your kids up. In fact, it's one of the problems that parents have, or one of the mistakes that parents make. I won't go through any, but just one this morning. And that is, they try to build a world for their kids. They try to fashion their child's world to be a world where there is no heartache and there is no failure. Thinking, now I'm not saying it's bad intentions, thinking that in doing this, I will make my child stronger. And what happens is they only set their child up for further and more difficult heartache and failure ahead, because it's a part of life. And there's no better place for you to learn how to get through heartache and failure than with those who love you, with those who care for you. In fact, that's really the story of the Bible, God drawing us to himself through his son. And as he draws us to himself through his son, he says, listen, I am there with you. I will not desert you. I will take you through everything that you have to go through. I will be there with you. You will get through this. Why? Because I am with you. Do you remember Moses, as God tells him, says, I want you to go back. I want you to rescue my people who are in Egypt. They were slaves. They were in bondage, and he went and said, I want you to them to understand that I have not deserted them. You go, you bring them back. And Moses says, how in the world can I do that, God? There's just no way. You're talking about a big failure, God. This is not going to work. And do you remember what God tells him? It's the same thing he tells Joseph, same thing he tells Joshua, same thing he tells Jacob. He says, you will make it. You can accomplish this. Why? Because I am what? With you. That's exactly it. Because I am with you. Listen, when your kids, when they understand you are with them, that you love them, they can get through these things. They can face them. And in facing them and getting through them, as they go out into life and they become adults themselves, and one day they raise their own kids, they understand, they learn how important it is to be there for their kids and to go through these things with their kids, so that their kids understand, even as they experience heartache and failure, that mom and dad are with me. And it reminds them that God himself is with me. The one thing I did with my kids is I would tell them, as best I can, I will always be there for you. But I have to say, as best I can, because there's a limit to what I can do. Sometimes, you know, I could make a promise that I could not keep. I said, but here's what I want you to understand. You have a Father in heaven, and he will never desert you. In fact, he is capable of fulfilling that promise. So no matter what you face, you can always rely on, you can always turn to him. Even if the problem that you're in is your fault, you caused it, God doesn't desert you through that. He is still there. He is always there. And I know there are people who, because of the human notion that God will be with us when it's not our fault, but the human notion, when it is our fault, he deserts us. They come up with a strange theology. I want to remind you this. The whole gospel, the whole idea of Jesus Christ coming and giving his life for us is not built on you didn't make a mistake, right? It's built on the opposite, isn't it? You failed. This is your fault. Oh, you were tricked? There's a whole other element of evil going to absolutely, you know, but you fell for the trick, and yet your Heavenly Father loves you so much. He cares for you so much. He wants you to understand how valuable you are to him, that he does not desert you, that God is willing to go through heartache and, in a sense, go through failure also for you, to rescue you. In fact, that's what Jesus does on the cross, isn't it? Jesus takes on the cross our heartache and our what? Our failure, our sins. He takes it on the cross himself so that we would understand we are never alone in this. We are never deserted. And let me tell you something. That's what changes people. That's why people want to change, because there's someone out there who I can depend on, who will never desert me, who will never leave me. And we should probably just close in prayer right now, because I'm just too fired up. So, right? If you're a parent, don't make that mistake. Don't try to cover your kids' faults. Don't try to build a world where your kids will never experience heartache and failure. Now, when they're little, when they're young, right, you know, you protect them more. They get a little older, you know, you help them understand, you help them learn as they get older and older. I still always remember my dad when he I would plant in the garden, tomato plants especially. He'd take little seeds, he'd put them in those little, you know, I don't know what you call them, but it's a little thing with dirt in them, you know, little squares, and he would grow them up, you know, usually inside with a light and all, protect them. And then when it finally got time to go take them out in the garden, he'd put them there. He would, you know, build the ground just right for them, a perfect little place, make sure they had water. He would take little limbs off the tree, and he would stick them in the ground to cover them from the sun, because even though they needed sun, right, they need sun, but he knew too much sun, they couldn't handle yet. And he would watch them, you know, as insects would come, other things would happen, to make sure that they were protected and they would grow. But as they grew and they grew stronger, he didn't do as much. He let them experience. He let them, you know, become the plant that they were supposed to become. And I realized this is exactly what you're supposed to do with your kids. You're supposed to let them grow up, so that one day they can handle it, they can deal with it, they can produce. And if we don't do that, then what happens is when our kids go out and they face the real world, man, what a shock, you know? The real world's not going to protect me. The real world's not going to cover me. The real world's not going to try to shield me from all heartache and all failure in my life. The real world's not trying to build a world to try to make it so that, you know, I don't ever have to experience failure. Now, let me tell you, here's what happens. If you don't do that, if you go the other way, then your kids are ill-prepared, and it's one of the reasons when people face heartache and they face failure, guess who they blame? God. God, weren't you supposed to build a world where I didn't have to experience this? Weren't you supposed to build a world where nothing ever went against me? Weren't you supposed to build a world for me where I was never rejected, where I was always affirmed? And the answer is no, he wasn't. He was going to build you, just like you're supposed to build your kids, in the world where they know they are loved, they know they are cared for, they know if they are rejected on the outside or not accepted, they know where they can run to, they know who loves them, they know who cares about them, They know who, even when they mess up, they can come to and who will help them straighten it up, do the right thing, and move on to the next step. And that is what a parent is supposed to do. Now, I know that sometimes as parents we're saying, I don't want to know all their mistakes. I understand. But when they're young, they're not that big, right? They're just not that tough. It's funny because all kids are different. I'll tell just one story on my kids because they're old enough and they can't get me back. I'm sure they will one day. But when they were little and they were staying at the house, it was during the summer, I'm guessing, because Joni and I were both gone and there was someone there staying with them. And I came home and there was kind of a stir in the house. And I said, what's going on? And the lady that was staying with them said, well, you know, it was raining all day. They went outside when it stopped raining and they got pots. And they collected, you know, water right next to the street, mud water, and they were throwing it on cars. And one of the ladies that drove by, I was driving a white car, a nice car, she stopped. She was pretty upset. So I sat my kids down, and you know how you are with your kids. I'm the same way. Of course, my kids never did that. You know, sweet little angels, they would. No, I knew my kids. And so I said, did y'all go ahead and throw water on cars? And they went, oh, no. You know, so you weren't out in the street, but well, we were. But we weren't throwing it on cars. As they came by, I said, really? So a lady stopped because you didn't throw water on her car? And Jamie, and my oldest, is my high achiever. And so she feels the expectation. So she's sitting there telling me that. And I said, now, Jamie, look at me. I said, Jamie, are you telling me you did not throw mud water on a lady's white car? And all of a sudden, and the tears start rolling. Because she was like that. You know, she would, if you got to it and got serious, she would tell you she made a mistake and she needs to make the mistake right. Now, Jordan, you know, he was the second born. You know, hey, it's all Jamie's fault. He was absolutely free. You know, he would do whatever. In fact, a lot of times he'd just say, yep, I did it. And, or if he didn't want to tell you, you know, you had to beat it out of him. Sorry about that. But, you know, that's just the way he was. I mean, he was not the one that was just kind of tied to it. But Jamie, I mean, she would break down. Never had to discipline her very much because she just didn't like being in that situation. See, it sets your kids free, though, because they know I can be honest, I can be real, don't have to lie, don't have to carry that part around with me, can live a real life, a real world. I made mistakes. Did you make mistakes when you were growing up? Anybody? Oh, a few people did. Good, okay. We're afraid to admit them, aren't we? We're afraid to say it. But you know why? Because we're afraid if we say we made a mistake, did something wrong, we're afraid we won't be what? Won't be loved. And when they experience love, when there's someone that says, you know, I know you're going to make mistakes, but let me tell you, you are the most valuable thing in the world to me. When they experience that, then there's the freedom to say, I made a mistake. I failed. This hurts. I don't understand, you know, the feelings I'm going through, because they will go through those things. And of all the people in the world that you want them to run through or run to when they go through these things, you want them to run to who? You. Because you love them. Because you poured your life out to raise them. God does the same thing. When you fail, when you experience heartache, God wants you to run to Him. Because He's the one that says, listen, we can get through this. I will take you through this. I understand heartache and failure. I know how you feel. I know how it makes you think you look. But we can not only get through this, you can be better through this. You can be stronger. You can grow through this. And it's exactly what God does. Okay, so my mini little sermon, sorry, I'm just kind of making up for missing last week. How does God get us through heartache and failure? Let me give you three things this morning. First of all, He makes us secure in His love. That's part of what we were talking about. And I want to take you to a passage. This is in Philippians. Paul is writing a letter to the Philippians. And one of the things, if you go and you read this letter in the first chapter, you will notice Paul just absolutely centers on and focuses on how much God loves them and how much they can depend on God's love for them. And then it sets him up to be able to deal with certain things. And look at what it says in verse 27. He says this. He says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Now, the reason I use this translation on this verse is because all the others leave out the word citizen. They just say, conduct yourselves or live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, which is a fine translation, but actually the language in there deals with citizenship. And they just say, you know, it means about belonging. It does. Citizenship means this. Not that you're trying to earn God's love. I must perform. I must always do the right thing in order for God to love me. Citizenship means I'm going to live, I'm going to act in a way that reflects who I am. The fact that I'm a part of this family, that God himself loves me. So since you are a citizen, since this is the place that you belong, you should act in a way that reflects what you understand about God's great love for you. That love he has for you is your base. It is your fall back to. It is what makes you who you are. He is not saying, boy, I don't know how to emphasize this anymore. You must act in a certain way for God to love you. He is not saying that, right? He's saying you should act in a certain way because what? God loves you. You should act in a certain way because God loves you. Jamie, as a child, should tell her dad the truth and be honest with him. Why? Not so that if she tells me the truth, I will love her. She should tell me the truth. Why? Because of all the people you want to tell the person who loves you. Of all the people that you want to be honest with the person who loves you. This is the person that can help you, that you can get through with. You don't want to go tell your enemy, but you do want to tell the person who loves you. Sometimes I'll stand up on Sunday morning, I'll say, you know, I've got all kind of faults. I've got all kind of struggles. And someone will catch me outside that, you know, usually that I don't know or I've never met. Says, like what? Tell me some of your faults. I said, I'm not telling you. I don't know you yet. I don't know that I could trust you yet. I don't know that if I told you my faults that you would, you know, I would be secure in those things or you would use those things against me, right? So why would you go out and tell a person that you don't know yet, that is not sacrificed for you, has not given themselves to you? No, you don't do that. You tell the one who does love you. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, just to show you some of the verses. Right? This is what Paul is telling them. He says, for I'm confident. I love this translation for it too. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began what? Good work in you will do what? He will perfect it to the day of Christ. That means he's going to finish what he has started. So if you want to run to anybody, if you need to run to anybody, that's the person that you run through to when you're going through heartache, when you're going through, you know, failures in your life. You run to the one who loves you, the one who cares for you, because, you know, that's the one who will be there for me. That's the one who will take me through these things. I wrote this down because I think this is so key for you to understand. Listen, you as a parent, just like God is doing this with us, you are writing a love letter to your kids, but you are writing this love letter on their hearts. It's important to write things down, but there's nothing more important than for you to write your love letter on their hearts, that you engrave it on them, because the way you treat them and the way you draw them to yourself and the way you're there in every trouble and every difficult circumstance. I had a guy one time, he told me his kids, one of his sons had really messed up, and I understand. And he was having a hard time talking to his kid. He said, I have a hard time loving my child because my child has so disappointed me, you know. And I said, you know, here's what you're doing. You're withholding your love and your attention because that child has disappointed you. So what you're saying is you must earn my love. Now, should a child earn respect? You know, should a child earn privileges? Absolutely. But they should never be earning your love. I said, what if God treated you that way? And there are some people, their theology, that's what they think. Till you repent of everything, till you fix everything, God's not going to accept you. That is not the message that's in the Bible. It's the very opposite. And it is because God does love us that we run to him in the midst of our struggles and our difficulties. And a parent should be this way also. I'm not telling you that your kids won't disappoint you. Of course they will. I disappointed my parents plenty of times. I didn't like to, you know, have to tell them or them to know that I disappointed them. But what I learned was, even in those disappointments, they still loved me. And they would go through whatever I was going through with me in order to make it right and in order to be stronger. Look at what Paul writes to the Corinthians. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I love this paragraph. He puts, the only letter of recommendation that we need is you yourselves, because they had poured their life out for these Corinthians. He says, your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, You are a letter for Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on what? On human hearts. See, this is the letter that you have a chance to be a part of. Not with everyone in the world, but you have a chance to do this with those that you're close to, especially with your kids. You have a chance to have them written on your heart to write a letter on their heart. It's not something in stone. It's not a plaque that you put up. It's something that is written deep in their heart, deep in their spirit. They know where they're loved. And when they understand that from their parents, especially if you do this because of how much God has loved you, it connects them to God's love. It opens them up to God's Spirit also writing a love letter, carving letters in their hearts, in flesh, living letters, real letters. Number two, how do you do this? Number two, or how does he do this? He gives us a place to belong. And I can't think of anything that would be more important for your kids to remember is this is where you belong. This is your place. Where Paul writes in that first verse, using the word citizen, so he talks about, you know, how much we belong, and that's why we behave the way we do. The next part of that same verse, he says this. He says, so that whether I come to you or remain absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, and he uses this word. He says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This word for striving is the word that he switched now to the language of an athlete, someone who would push hard and work hard, striving for a goal, but he's not striving by himself. He's striving with others after that goal. That means he understands this is where I belong. It's football season, right? You love college football, high school football, professional football. I love football. I really do. And I especially like the fact that I don't have to play it. But, you know, because it looks dangerous to me. But I love the action of it. And I love watching football and watching the strategy of it. And to watch a team come together and understand that as I play my part and as I strive with the team, we are able to accomplish so much more than we ever could as individuals. In fact, the best teams in the world have learned to gel, to be cohesive, to hold together, to back one another up, to know that, you know, if you fall, if you struggle, don't worry, I will cover you, I will be there for you. Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes. He says, if one falls by himself, who's going to pick him up? But if two walk together and one falls, guess what? His friend will do what? Yeah, he'll pick him up. Or he says, if one is in the cold by himself, he's going to freeze. But if two are in the cold, one keeps the other one warm. It is true. You need teamwork. And unfortunately, you know, our natural selves, we tend to go totally toward individualism. In fact, Jason talked about this last week. We have this sort of, you know, dichotomy going on that contradicts itself in the world, which says fit in at all cost, and at the same time, stand out at all cost. Now, here's how you actually can do this. You can fit in by being part of a team, and yet at the same time, you can stand out by doing your part well. That's how it's supposed to work. In the culture, unfortunately, it gets confused, and it's difficult to figure out how am I supposed to fit in if I'm supposed to stand out at the same time. You stand out by doing your job well. You stand out by taking your place well, being a true friend, a true brother, a true sister, someone who cares, someone who gives their all for the team, and in that way, you fit in. This is why there's such a thing as the church. Because this is a place where we're supposed to fit in, strive together, like athletes pushing toward a goal, because we have been united by Christ himself. He has brought us to the same team to work together, to strive together. We don't all do the same job. We don't all have the same skills and the same talents. We don't all have the same personality. We don't look the same. We don't think the same. We don't do the same things in the world. But there's a unity there. There's a oneness that comes because of His great love that bonds us together so that we pull together and we try to accomplish things together that we could not do individually. Even, you know, as we, Brian mentioned about the kids in Zambia, you know, or we're going to be working this next month in Vesmel Grada and in Riga in Latvia, working with teachers there and encouraging them and teaching them how to teach the Bible, how to teach about Jesus in the public schools, which is amazing that you can do that, you know, but they allow that to happen. And so we go and we teach them first, we build them into a team first, and then from them they go out and they do the same thing with the kids. They love and they care for the kids and they tell them about God's love Himself as they're teaching things that they need, reading, writing, arithmetic, right? Remember those things? You know, the things, the skills that you need also. You do the same thing. But we pull together, we work together as a team. You know, here's one of the things that you need to remember. Heartache and failure are not our destination. This is not where we end up. And so when you go through heartache and failure, you go through difficult times, you're reminded, but this is not the end. This is not my final destination, even though they are part of the journey. But that's exactly what they are. They're part of the journey. They're temporary. They don't last very long. In fact, listen to this verse. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians also. It's not in your outline. It won't pop up on your screen. Listen to what Paul says. He says, we are pressed on every side by troubles. Later, he says, we are perplexed. That means we are confused. It's difficult. Later, he says, we are knocked down. And in another place, he says, we are hunted down. Now you and I don't understand that part, but he says, it's as if there are those out to get us. He says, through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death, or that means the suffering of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in us. He says, that is why we never give up. He says, yet they produce for us an immeasurable great glory that will last forever. They are temporary, but God uses those things. It's not our final destination, but He uses those things to focus us, to teach us so that we bond together, we work together, we strive together for one common goal because of who God is. And it means we struggle together. It means we go through hardships together. Every team, every football team goes through a lot of struggles, a lot of hardships, a lot of difficult times. That is them learning, disciplining themselves to become a unit and to achieve a task and to achieve a goal. It's one of the great glories of, you know, what we get to do in life. Third thing is this. In this passage, he also says, he produces in us an understanding. In fact, that's what you're doing as you take your kids through this, as you love your kids, as you teach them about how valuable they are to you, how valuable they are to God. Is you are teaching them or you're building into them an understanding of life that normally they would miss. In fact, they would miss it just, you know, easily because, you know, we want a life with no heartache and no struggles and no difficulties. But you're teaching them a new understanding, why they go through this, why this matters, why this is important. Look at how Paul finishes this paragraph. He says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. I love this part. Don't be intimidated. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed. That means they're going to lose fighting against you, but that you're going to be saved. You know, God has decided to rescue you, even by God Himself. For you've been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him. That means of striving together or pushing together. We're in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I'm still in the midst of it, Paul says. In fact, other translations will say, which is probably a more literal understanding, you've seen my struggles, you've seen what I'm going through, and he says, you know I'm in the midst of it, and the truth is you're struggling the same way. We struggle together. We go through the same difficulties and struggles together. But we lift up one another, we hold up one another, we encourage one another because we know what Christ Himself, what He has done. It does produce heartache, suffering, struggles, they do produce in our lives. They produce some very valuable thing in our lives. In fact, let me give you, it's not going to be in your outline, maybe three things real quickly that they do produce. First of all, they produce in us a proof that we belong to Him, because He takes us through those sufferings and those struggles. They also are a privilege for us, that we are able to struggle, suffer, go through the same heartache that God Himself goes through, that Christ went through, that those before us go through. It unites us with them. And the third thing is, they do produce something very important in us. They produce character. Now, the Bible says this: your suffering and your struggle, your difficulties, when they're united with your faith, with your trust, they produce character inside of you. In fact, in one place, Paul says they produce proven character. That means character in you that people look at and they say it can stand up under difficult times. The character is the same under difficult times. I was viewing a video of, you probably saw it, an airline that I don't remember which airline it was, had left from California, was on its way to the middle of the United States, and experienced the right engine failed. It really kind of blew out. Anybody see that one? And they turned around, had to come back and land in California, smoke in the cabin. They all thought they were going to die, they said, you know. And they landed, and they got off the plane, and I was listening to one guy, and he was like, wow, I thought I was going to die. He said, I've decided now to always be kind to people. You know, because it gives you a whole different perspective on your life when you think you're going to pass away, right? You know what the problem with that is? It'll be short-lived. At experiences like that, that's the way we feel. God, thank you. He probably made a deal with God. God, if you just don't let me die, right? I'll never do a bad thing again. You ever do that? Ever heard your kids say that? Does it work? Absolutely not. Never works. Because as soon as the experience is over, you're kind of past it, you forget. That's not what He's trying to build. He's trying to build proven character in our life that's based on this: I trust Him. Key word, I trust Him. It is a privilege to go through the heartaches, the failures, the struggles that I am going through with Him. Because He will build something into me. He will produce something in me that I could never produce myself, and that the experience would never produce if I didn't have this trust for Him, if He weren't the one taking me through it. And then there's another key word, last word here this morning. You want to write this one down, really key word. That is surrender. Surrender. Because that means you've surrendered the fact that you don't get to pick your life. You don't get to shape the world that you live in and say it's going to be this way. Your experiences will catch you off guard, sort of like that guy on the plane, right? And your experiences will test the character that has been built into you. But when you're able to surrender to God and say, God, you know, the truth is, I trust You. I don't know what's coming. I don't even know what I need to become or what my life needs to become, but I trust You that You know. And You have promised You will never desert me, and He doesn't desert us. And You will take me through everything that I need to go through. And You will be faithful. And You will teach me even when it's difficult, even when it's painful, even when I don't like it. Listen, You will teach me. I know You will teach me the things that I need to know. I know Your love will be supreme. Your love will be the thing that helps conquer all of these things. All of these things that I'm going through. Anybody going through heartache? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm kidding. Failure, I can do that just because I can tell you yes. Don't ask me what they are, unless you're close. Sure. How are you going to get through those things? You can be mad at God and say, God, how can You allow these things to happen? As if God was supposed to fix the world for you. Or you can trust God and you can surrender to God and say, God, I understand. You're fixing me. You're building something into me. So the struggles of this world, the troubles of this world, which I will face, I can face because I'm not alone, because You're with me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. You know us. You understand us. You made us. You know every struggle that we're going through. Every time we fail, every heartache that we feel, none of those are a surprise to You. But But you knew long ago that we would go through these things. You also knew long ago what we would need as we would go through these things. And so you've spent time proving your faithfulness, your love to us. So the character would be built in our lives because of who you are, because you don't desert us. And so that we would understand just how valuable our lives are because you love us, you care for us. You are the one who has given us life and set us free to live a life where we don't fear heartache and failure because of your faithfulness. Lord, we need help to surrender. It is difficult for us not to want to control the outcomes, the experiences of our life, because we fear what would happen in those outcomes and in those experiences. Lord, we thank you that as we draw close to you, that fear is wiped away, that your love conquers those fears. And we can face the difficulties of this life knowing they are not our final destination, but that because of Jesus Christ, Lord, you are. In his name we pray. Amen.